Now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 107, we'll have time to look at a good portion of that psalm, and we'll do it over the caption, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Psalm 107. I have no doubt but that you've studied this psalm many times. Some of you who minister in the Word, you have probably taught it time and again. So it's not my purpose to try to give you something new, because that might be impossible. But it is our purpose to look at some of the salient truths of this chapter and to draw from it something that will bring praise to the surface in our lives. Psalm 107 and verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I believe that three of the Psalms begin with precisely the same language. And I therefore believe that since God says something once, it's important. And when he repeats it three times, it becomes triply important. And therefore, I believe it is his earnest desire that we, as his redeemed ones, should give thanks unto the Lord. Now, you'll notice how the word Lord is spelled in the English text. It is spelled with all capital letters, and therefore, we are dealing here with the sacred name of our God, which is Jehovah. It's my judgment that we have in the Scriptures one name for God, Jehovah, and that there are many, many titles given to God. The word God is the word Elohim on occasions. It means the strong one, the mighty one. It is a title. Here it is Jehovah, the sacred name of our God. I was at a kibbutz in Israel where the young men were reading the Scriptures together. All of these young fellows were about 13, 14, 15 years of age. They had their little yarmulkes on the head and the Scriptures in their hands, and they would read, and every so often they would bow their head. They would say nothing but just bow their head. And I asked what this was all about. Many, many times did they bow their head as they read the Scriptures. Yes, these were Old Testament Scriptures. I was told that they would not repeat the sacred name of Jehovah. But when they came to the word in the Hebrew text, perhaps having to do with that particular the Scriptures may have illuminated, or they would spell it me, and leave out the O, and put in the D. Sometimes they would leave out the whole word on the Or perhaps some of you might have referred to this, meaning Jehovah. I have often seen you sit down. Singing, hallelujah. Our Jewish friend.
And so today,
Would take to himself a pinning of humanity. That the God man Christ Jesus not give his life at Calvary.
You give
us the only explanation of it all.
He has yet
in a Calvary God was extending his love toward us with both hands. And this is divine
grace.
His mercy endureth forever. Not only does he positively love us, not only does the grace of God positively endure each of us, but in a negative fashion, God has buried us in mercy. For mercy involves the withholding of punishment. Our God, then, is good. He is worthy of our praise in this psalm, because he not only has extended grace, but mercy has been extended for all who will believe. In fact, mercy has been provided for the whole world at the cross. We do not in any sense of the word limit the atonement. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. But that atonement becomes experiential. It becomes de facto only to those who believe. There is a part for man, then, to fulfill. He is to reach out by simple faith and to take God at his word and rise. Have done that, I believe, probably a good many years ago for the most part. So he says, give thanks unto this God. What times we thank God. So many times we forget that God has saved us from. And we seem to be unmindful of what God has saved us to. And therefore we appear many times to be without proper appreciation. I think that most of us, down in the depths of our souls, are thankful to God. We don't express it as much to God as we ought to. I think our dear wives love to be told that we love them. I think our children simply flourish under the love of parents who express their love to the children. There's a sense of security, satisfaction, there's a sense of belonging. As the children hear mother or father say, we love you, and certainly that's true of the husband or the wife, I believe that our God wants to hear from the hearts of his redeemed ones, Lord, we love thee. Our love is often weak. We often are slow to express it, perhaps. We often at times seem ungrateful. But, oh, we love him. And, beloved friends, he wants, I believe, to be the recipient of that expression of thanksgiving and praise for who and what he is and all that he has done for us. Now, as we go on in the psalm, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? That the redeemed of the Lord give thanks to God. That the redeemed of the Lord say he is good. That the redeemed of the Lord say his mercy endureth forever. And then the psalmist gives us a whole host of reasons why we should praise his name and ascribe all goodness to Jehovah God. So then verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I love this word, redeemed. And in this connection, I think I'll ask you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. What a wonderful chapter this is.
Jersey out in Mineral Spot.
If you have any question about the depths of this chapter, then I say set yourself to the task of teaching it sometime. And with me you will become utterly amazed at the depth of truth and the wideness of the ministry of the apostle or the Holy Spirit through the apostle in this great chapter. He says, this prayer, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I wonder if you've noticed in the text that it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I'm looking here, for I've jotted it down, the very word that is used in the word delivered. And as I understand this word, I believe that at the basis of the word is the idea of drawing. It's the word erisato, which has in it the idea of a magnet held over iron filings, and the filings are drawn toward the magnet. This passage then is saying, who hath drawn us? And I'm referring now to Colossians 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, the power of darkness is obviously the power of Satan, the authority of the evil one. And his power is great over our lives. Not so much is this speaking of physical power as it is speaking of authority. There was a day when we did Satan's bidding, when he exercised great, unbelievable authority in our lives. He had only to suggest, and we bowed in order to do it. Our lives were characterized by obedience to the solicitations of the evil one. But now, when we heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, drawn by the Holy Spirit, we were drawn out of the authority of the evil one. We were drawn away from him by the power of God in the gospel message. The word of God then was employed by the Holy Spirit as the instrument whereby he, God, drew us out from the sphere of Satan's authority. So, as a magnet draws the iron to itself, so has our God, by the Spirit of God and through the Word, drawn us out of the sphere of his authority, Satan's authority, and drawn us unto himself. It's a beautiful expression. He hath delivered us from the magnetic power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He had a man who ran for mayor in the city of Philadelphia. He had hitherto run on the Democratic ticket, but this year he changed to a Republican. And of course, he did himself a great deal of damage in that he changed his allegiances. He lost the election by a great, great many votes. But he made a change. He was one thing, he became another. In this passage I read that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. He has worked in us a change of allegiance. He has given us a new place, you see. It's that which involves a change of address. That's the simple Greek word here. It's a change of position, a change of address. So rather than being involved in the sphere of satanic authority, we have, by the grace of God, been assigned a new address. Our place is no longer in Adam. It is now in Christ Jesus. You see, this is what God has done for you and for me. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us, given us a new address, and that is the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Redemption is not in a creed. Redemption is not in a man-made solution to man's problems. Redemption is not in a denominational title. Redemption is in Christ Jesus. We agree on that, don't we? In whom we have redemption through His blood. We sing the songs of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And one of the songs that thrills my heart the most is one that says that the blood shall never lose its power. We've been talking about magnetism here, about attractiveness, power to attract. When the gospel was preached, the Spirit of God drew us unto Himself. And in so doing, He has drawn us into a new position. And the moment we said yes to Jesus Christ, we were assigned a new place, even in the kingdom of His dear Son. We were drawn through the blood, through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we even received the forgiveness of our sins. Now look back at the second verse of Psalm 107, where it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." This means that God wants us to praise His name. We are the redeemed of Jehovah then. We have been drawn by the blood of Christ out of the sphere of satanic authority. We have been given a new place. We are in the kingdom of His dear Son. Now let the redeemed of the Lord be quick to say so. I think in this, there is praise. When we have opportunity to praise the Lord, let us praise the Lord. Let us live each day with a sense of praise overwhelming our hearts. As we think back to that moment when God saved us, we think of what God did for us, we think of how He did it, we think of who accomplished all of this in our lives, and there wells up in our souls nothing but praise unto our God. Let the redeemed of the Lord be quick then to ascribe all grace and love and power unto His blessed name. Describing those who are redeemed, it says that He has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. The enemy had us in his hand. Any doubt about that? What we did was sinful. What we thought was wicked. Where we went was questionable. The friends we had were wicked, like ourselves. Yes, some of us had some bad company. And we, of course, thought little about sin. But we know that there came the time when we heard the message. Message that quickened with us, within us conviction. And we then desired to come to the gracious Savior who offered to redeem us and to forgive all our transgressions and to make of us new creations of God in Christ Jesus. I never heard the gospel until one night before I was saved. And I wouldn't have heard it that night if my best friend, who was just about my own age, hadn't promised his mother that he would go to the evangelistic meeting that night. He did go, but he kept after me until I agreed to go with him. Now, that's the last place in the world I wanted to be. Had no desire to be in a meeting of church, any kind of a church. And he kept after me until I said, "All right, all right." I heard that night that God said I was a sinner. I knew what God thought about me. I knew He loved me, too. That night, under the old arc light there in Altoona, Pennsylvania, as my friend left me to go up the hill, I went down in another part of the town where I lived. And he and I talked it over. We said, let's go back tomorrow night. Already our hearts were hungry, you see. We didn't understand. We didn't know much. But our hearts were hungry. We went back the next night. I don't know what the message was. I went back for only one thing. And that was to hear the invitation. And when the invitation was given, I found my way to the front. I was dealt with and led to Jesus Christ. When I opened my eyes, having prayed, there was my best buddy on my right and his brother, whom I detested above all persons, on my left. And the three of us were saved by the grace of God. You would have not cared much for that brother either, because he planted a knife to the hilt in me. And so, he was an enemy. I would call him an enemy. You know, friends don't do that to you. And he was not too far from being my own age. And he was very nasty about it. Well, God saved the three of us that night. He saved a big, tall Irishman, Fred McGinnis. He went as a missionary to Kentucky. Well, God sent the right man to Kentucky after he graduated from Moody Bible Institute. Because there in Kentucky, they burned down his church. The little church he helped to build. He said, burn it down, I'll build it again. He's Irish, you see. McGinnis, not Irish. And so he built it, and he built a parsonage for his dear wife, Dorothea. And now they burned down the parsonage and burned down the church again. He said, all right, I'll build it again. And so he built the church the third time they left it stand. Today, Fred is still in Banner, Kentucky, the most respected pastor in the whole great area. Those mountain people would die for Fred McGinnis. Yes, four of us saved by the grace of God and others. But I think of what God did. He saved us out of the hand of the enemy. Only God knows what the future would have held. But he saved us. He drew us by the gospel and then changed our address. And we, instead of belonging to the enemy, now we belonged to the Lord of Lords and Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. Notice in verse 3. But it says he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. This is what God has done with the message of grace. Oh, how he loves to call men unto himself. And God is no respecter of persons when it comes to direction. He has saved men out of the north, out of the south, out of the east, out of the west. You see, the salvation of the Lord is provided for a world. And God has saved men in all parts of the world. It would be difficult for us tonight to travel to any place where we would not find a child of God within reason. So, he has gathered them from many lands. I love the name of the mission agency that is so precious to all of the chapels and the assemblies. Christian missions in many lands. Oh, isn't that expressive of the psalm? The north, the south, the east, and the west. Missionaries in every far-flung part of the earth. Over 2,300 missionaries tonight from the assemblies. Laboring for God in hard places. Oh, not living in magnificent homes, no. Not always having the best of the means of travel. Not always feeling well. Not always having everything they need. Beloved, but they're there. They're faithful and they're fruitful. They haven't been paid yet. But one day when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they will then receive from his nail-pierced hand the reward for faithful service. But through their ministries and through other ministries, God over the centuries has gathered men, women, boys and girls from many lands, the east and from the west, the north and from the south. It says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Beloved, you've seen pictures of the Ethiopians. And I know tonight something of the reality of that desolate land. Oh, I've known it from missionaries. I've never been there. I've flown over it. I've seen the villages from the air, about 10,000 feet up, pretty close to the ground. Villages all set in circles, thatched roofs, children running around, adults about the villages. Yes, but now we've seen the awful hunger, the emaciated bodies, the disturbed and ruined minds. We've seen literal living starvation. We've all seen this, I'm sure, newspapers, news reports, etc. Now, hearts go out to a people so desperately in need of food. We have so much, they have so little. And, of course, it's become a political game to some degree. And I have no doubt that what there is food in storehouses, but which is locked and not for the use of the public such as they are. But thank God others are getting through with the food, and I believe that. Now, transfer yourself into such an experience spiritually. We wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, alone, hungry, thirsty. Now, we found no city to dwell in, no city such as God describes. Do you know today that you are bound for the city whose builder and maker is God? The city that has no physical human architect, but a city whose architect is God? A city in which the illumination is but the glory of God? And God, who is light, manifests that glory through the person of His Son? No wonder Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Because it is He who one day will illumine the city of the redeemed. Oh, that beautiful city. It takes the mingled beauties of ever so many precious stones and jewels to describe the city of God. That's our dwelling place in the future. And God has destined that for us since we have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, to wander in the desert, that's what we were doing. It was a dry place, this old world. There was nothing there to refresh the soul, the water. Nothing there to feed the life that hungered for God in many ways. No, nothing there for that. There's nothing this world had that could possibly deliver us from the sensation of being lost, of being simply dependent upon a world that couldn't satisfy. No, but when we heard the gospel, and He extended to us the water of life, and extended us the bread come down from heaven, we drank, and we've never been thirsty since, in the sense that we are not satisfied by the gospel. Oh, our hearts thirst for righteousness. Our hearts thirst for truth. We thirst to know more of the Word of God. We long for a greater fellowship with Jesus Christ. Thank God this Thanksgiving Day He extends it to us. But while we wandered, we had no permanent dwelling place spiritually. Hungry and thirsty, our souls fainted within us. And I think sometimes the sinner has often thought, doesn't anyone care for me? Doesn't anyone take an interest in me? And I used to think after I was saved, something like that, because I would see people pass by our little home, and they had Bibles under their arms, but nobody ever stopped. If someone had stopped, it could be that one of us would have come to Christ a little sooner. But no one stopped. I think no one cared. And that's the way with many Christians. Their theology is right. They're in their place on the Lord's Day. They can sing the songs of Zion. Or they can pray and pray long. But do they care? Well, I want you to know that Calvary is the magnificent demonstration of a caring God. God cared for you. Do we care for others? Do we care enough to be enough? To go enough? To tell enough? Do we possibly care enough to witness? Well, there are many wondering. In the wilderness, this whole world, a solitary way, a lonely way. There's no city to dwell in. They're hungry, they're thirsty. They really don't know all that they need, but they know they need something. Then it says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. You remember when you cried to the Lord, and you said, oh, God, save me. I remember in California, a little girl about 19 years of age came down the aisle. She wanted to be saved, she said. Oh, she was weeping. And when we tried to lead her to the Lord, it was hard in a sense because she kept weeping. And she kept crying out to the Lord for something. And then finally she saw the truth of the gospel. And she very boldly and intelligently accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. A young man came down the aisle with her. Fine-looking young fellow. I found out that he was her boyfriend. Oh, he was saved. He knew that she was lost. She was a Mormon and out of Christ. Her family was a staunch Mormon family. She said that night, my family will probably put me out. And I think that she knew that that was a real possibility. The young man said, I had told God that if she didn't come tonight to the Lord, I was going to give her up. For he said, I know that a believer should not marry an unbeliever. And I think he meant business. But isn't it wonderful that that night she stepped out of all her darkness and she came drawn by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God led her forth by the right way and he set her feet on the pathway that leads to a city of habitation. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. I made a little list in closing from this particular psalm as to the condition of some of these people. It just impressed me to do so. They lived under the shadow of death. Think of that. But they were delivered from it. They were bound in affliction and iron because sin imprisoned. And they were delivered from it. Out in Congo, there is a great medical station at Uicha, 100 miles into the Ituri forest. Hospital there that treats lepers. There are 3,500 lepers on that station. Oh, they're categorized in different ways physically. There was the doctor there that founded the station, Dr. Becker, took us all through the hospital. But I saw on the ends of the beds, cards, RC. I reasoned that meant they were Roman Catholic. Then I saw RC in a cross, and I had reasoned about that. I thought perhaps that meant that they were Roman Catholic without the Lord, and now they had accepted Jesus Christ and were saved. Then I saw another sign. And that was just three circles linked together and one circle all by itself. And I found out at the end of the day that that meant that was the African symbol for a believer. It meant that one that had been bound by the chain of sin, the chain had been broken by the power of God. And that's why three links together and one link by itself, a broken chain. bound in affliction and iron, and imprisoned by sin, and he broke the fetters, and they dropped, and we were set free in Jesus Christ. Rebellious against the word of God, yes, we wanted nothing that was religious, nothing that savored of Scripture, and yet, in our rebellion, he saved us. Despised the counsels of the Most High. We knew very little Scripture, most of us, that we despised, we overlooked what we knew. And it says brought down, that is burdened down. Oh, I saw a dear woman in Congo walking along a little tiny path, two big stalks of bananas, and the stalk of bananas is heavy. They can grow muscles lifting those. And here she had two big stalks of bananas on her back, and a little tiny black baby pressed on top of the top banana stalk. And she was walking like this along the pathway. Oh, God said to me, that's the condition of our people here. That's the lives lived out graphically of those who call this their home. Burdened down, brought down by labor, but now delivered, he took the burden on himself. Helpless, all friends failed. And we were left in a predicament of helplessness. But he extended the hand and lifted us up, took the load upon himself, so to speak, and set us free. Beloved, you and I today have more to thank God for than at any year of our lives. We're that much older than last year. Every day brings its new mercies. Every year brings its new catalog of blessings from God. Oh, run down the list in Scripture. Add to that every blessing, every mercy, every evidence of divine favor and love. And add it all up. And that is what grace, the grace of God, has bestowed upon each of us. Thanksgiving Day would mean very little to us without Christ. Oh, it meant sports one day. It meant big things one day. Yes, but today, Thanksgiving Day means thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, his unutterable gift, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we want to say thank thee this afternoon together. From our heart of hearts, in appreciation for divine grace, knowing our unworthiness, but we revel in the provision of the cross in our behalf. How we thank thee for the grace of God through the word, drawing us, wooing us to thyself. Each of us, Lord, can look back to that sacred moment when we passed out of death into life, and out of darkness into light. And Lord, we look back to that moment, and we say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is good. God is great. God is merciful. And God hath delivered us. He is our God. And his Son, Jesus Christ, is our wonderful, wonderful Savior. How we rejoice in him and in all that he is and will be to our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you so much.